This is Dawn from Plainfield, and this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. If you love the Cubs, beer, strong marginal analysis, internet muscle flexes, and the occasional chicken, this is the podcast for you. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 422nd episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. The Cubs keep rolling, and we are recording this during Wednesday night's Cubs-Angels game, the second game of this little two-game series. So at the time of this recording, the Cubs have won 8 in a row. Is that right, guys? Are we at 8?
Yep.
I think 8. Yeah. And at this hour, 12 games ahead of the Cardinals in the NL Central. So on this episode, we'll share a few of our thoughts on this Angels series, the win streak, and their recent play. We'll dig into a topic that we've kind of been avoiding for the last few episodes. That's Tommy La Stella. And we also have some listener questions to answer. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So the weekend at the lake, guys, it's only a few days away. And the first attendee, Josh from Louisiana, he arrives tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Yeah. Thursday afternoon, he's rolling in. So I got a lot of work to do before that.
Well, good luck with that.
I had a lot of work to do today, and I have more to do tomorrow, I think.
Welcome, Josh. Time to work, buddy. You going to put him to work when he gets there?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to hand him the rifle and start shooting some coyotes.
He's going to cover for me.
Oh, you're in the back 40.
No, he's going to be, whether he knows it or not, he's probably listening to this episode on his drive here. Josh, you're going to help me set up some canopies on Thursday or Friday, set up some tents. Yep, you're going to sweat a little bit. And speaking of sweating, just a warning to you guys and anyone else that is coming here for the weekend at the lake, corn flies. Oh, my gosh. Are the corn flies bad where you guys live right now?
No, I'm not even quite really sure what a corn fly is versus a regular fly.
Well, it looks like a sweat bee. Some people call them sweat bees, okay. But they're actually corn flies. They are terrible, right? Like, they are out of control right now, like absurd. So here's my
My son got hit by one then at school because I always have called them sweat bees.
No, these don't sting or bite.
Oh, okay.
They lick. Okay. They lick like you can see their tongue and they lick you.
The lickers.
Yeah, it's them licking bees. Oh,
somebody. They don't bite. They lick.
Yeah. So. Okay, here's the deal. Like, they are terrible right now. They're terrible at our house. When we were out at Michael's playing wiffle ball last week, they were just everywhere out there. They're really bad this year, and they're drawn to your sweat and the salt on your skin. So, if you're outside and you're not sweaty at all, they really don't bother you too much. So, my advice is, if you're coming, bring baby wipes, like something just to like wipe the sweat off of you. And get the salt off your skin because they're just really annoying because there's you see the little things they just land on you and they kind of like, you know, it's just like irritating that they're on you. Yeah.
They're trying to make out with your flesh.
Right. So I was thinking we should have an experiment. We should have Danny jump in the lake and then dump an entire can of salt on him and then just see what happens.
Oh, man.
It was funny.
It's not frequently very salty, so this will be new.
Right. It was funny because my brother-in-law, when we were playing wiffle ball, he pointed out that like we were kind of doing like a home run derby, and so we had a bunch of the wiffle balls out there, and if you threw like a wiffle ball on the ground, all of those flies just like swarmed to it because of the like sweat and salt on our hands. So... just a warning.
Sounds like fun.
Yep, just a warning. I mean, they don't sting, they don't bite, they lick you and
they just lick you to death.
They're just kind of annoying. So, and the nice thing too is that when it gets dark, they go away. So, it's not like they'll be bothering us all night long or anything. So, like I say with most of our events, you can, if you go to our Facebook page, it's ivmv.com/Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at IVMV. We'll do Periscope and Facebook Live. I always say that, but then we don't do it because we do these like short events where there's only like a couple hours and I just don't get around to it. But this is like a full weekend, and I would like to, you know, kind of do that over at the Wiffle Ball Field and maybe some campfire stuff. So, yeah, connect with us through social media if you're not able to come, and then you can kind of get in on the fun too. So it's going to be a blast. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hanging out with you guys and a whole bunch of other people. Should be a lot of fun. So let's talk about this series with the Angels. I actually watch some Angels baseball throughout the season. My wife is from Orange County, and her family members, they're all Angels fans. I've been to a lot of Angels games from when I lived out there. And as you've probably noticed, I mean, as I said, we're recording this during the Wednesday night game. But if you watch Tuesday, they're bad. They're really bad. A lot of mistakes. And as a franchise, they're only getting worse. But I was pretty confident about these matchups and this series. And I think if they can win tonight, then having the Cardinals come to town with the Cubs on a 9-game winning streak, I think that's pretty awesome.
I hope so. Is Pujols your favorite Angels player? You fully embraced him?
No. Well, no. I was just thinking about that today as I was, you know, thinking about really just how bad the Angels are. I mean, a lot of it is their pitching. They had a lot of injuries. But that contract that they gave Pujols was just stupid. And I was just thinking, like, man, I wish the Cardinals would have signed Pujols. How great would it be?
Is he signed through 2021?
I don't remember. It's a long time. I mean,
it's something like that. It's something insane like that.
Yeah, and I think that like the Cardinals were somewhat competitive in those contract discussions, and then the Angels just kind of went over the top with it. But I mean, even if it wasn't to the level of or the amount of the contract that he got with the Angels, I mean, how great would it be for the Cardinals? If they would have spent, I mean, I don't remember what that contract
10
was.
10 years. Here it is. Holy 10 cow. Years, $240 million.
Yeah.
2012 yeah. to 2021.
So, I mean, in 2021, he's going to be making $30
million. $30 million.
As a 41-year-old. But, oh, no.
But, like, I think if the Cardinals could have, like, signed him for, like, $180 or $200 million and to not be able to, like, stick him away in as a DH and for him to basically just be sitting at first base. I mean, I would love, you know, we think back of when Pujols really kind of owned the Cubs. And at that point in time, he was at his peak and the Cubs didn't really have great pitching. And I would love for the Cubs pitchers now to be able to face Pujols, you know, whatever, 18 games a year or whatever.
But. Yeah, for sure. But alas, it didn't happen. Maybe in an alternate universe.
Right. It just would have been great to see them like just stuck with a stupid contract that they only did because, you know, just to keep him home, which I think, I'm sure the information's out there. I'm not sure exactly what they offered him. But anyways, that's one thing I always think about when I watch or listen to an Angels game. So I've been thinking about that this week. But one player I wanted to talk about basically just from last night was Lackey. He is such a tool, but man, I really enjoy it. I don't know if you guys caught it, and I don't know if like people discussed it on Twitter or anything, because I was busy at the time and I wasn't looking at Twitter. But did you see like after he struck somebody out and then Contreras like kind of held onto the ball a little bit and he's like, he said, give me the effing ball. Like just a scowl. Such a he didn't say effing, by the way. But I don't know. I just I kind of enjoy his intensity. And I was thinking about like, you know, this team has a lot of lighthearted guys, and it's been a fun team these last couple of years. And I kind of like there being a grumpy old man. And I like him saying that he's not there for a haircut. He's there for jewelry. And
I used to be a man's league, stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, because really, I think in a way I was kind of skeptical about him being added to this team, as probably anybody listening to this podcast was kind of skeptical, because you're worried about, oh, what's that going to do with the clubhouse? And, you know, you have these all these young guys and they're goofy, and then you just bring in this like old, like sourpuss, you know, and 37-year-old dude, but he still throws 92 miles an hour. But I mean, you know, I don't think he blends in with this clubhouse, but I think he fits somehow. And I was thinking that, you know, not everybody on this team needs to be 23 years old and charming.
And well, sometimes they can be 37 and crabby.
Right.
You need some, yeah, everything. You, in order to appreciate 23 and charming, you gotta have some contrast.
You're the charming, sunny disposition that is generally prevalent throughout the clubhouse needs a little dash of surly.
Right. You need a little yin to the yang, or, you know. I just think that, like,
a little surly spice.
We're getting
that,
we're
was
getting
one of the Spice Girls that didn't make the cut. Surly Spice.
We're tired of handsome, anyways.
Well, I just think that, like, we were kind of, I think a lot of us were kind of worried when he came in, because he just didn't, you know, like, Lester's just more quiet. You know, he kind of has that grumpy disposition, but he's more quiet. Where, like, Lackey's just an ass. Like, you know, in the mule sense of the word, I guess. But I think that we were kind of like lulled into thinking like, oh, everybody on this team has to be young and fun and like appear to be like good guys. I think it's good just to have like a jackass in there.
Well, yeah, and then with the addition of Aroldis too, like, not everybody is going to be a good guy. I guess that point's been driven home.
Now it's so, well, you know, it's like a small little stable of jackasses.
Right. Well, and you don't build your team around them. You just kind of put them at the
right,
you know, on the outside, and let them help you out, and let Lackey pitch like 150 innings already, and just, you know, work.
Well, and keep everybody on their toes a little bit, you know. Yeah. I don't know. You don't want them to be like too comfortable in there. You want somebody that is kind of challenging.
Yeah, and I think in a way it's good for like somebody like Contreras to maybe work with a pitcher that's gonna, like, you know, hold his feet to the fire. You know, if I strike somebody out, I'm in a groove. Give me the ball. Don't stand there and, you know.
Yeah, what an education for Contreras. I mean,
how Contreras feels about him.
Oh, he's going to school, boy. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, he's really got to be learning a lot this year.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, going back to yesterday's game, you know, he just pitched an amazing game. He had 7 innings pitched, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, just the solo home run. And walked 1, struck out 6. And
wasn't it 8 innings? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was 8 innings, wasn't it? For some reason, yeah. I thought he pitched 7.
Yeah, and then Strope came in for the ninth.
Right. But one thing that stood out to me is that Trout and Pujols went 0-for-7 against Lackey. And as of when I was, you know, driving home this evening, I heard them say that isn't Trout like 0-for-13 against the Cubs this year? And I think that if you can keep basically that those are the only two weapons that the Angels really have. You know, Cole Calhoun can get his solo home run, but if you keep Trout off the bases and you don't let Pujols, you know, hit it out of the park like he's done.
Or keep everybody else off the bases and let them, right, you know, maybe get a solo shot or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried about Lackey when he gave up that solo shot first inning, and then, boy, he really settled in and just started mowing them down.
Yeah. So that's what kind of stood out to me with yesterday's game. I mean, other than there was some encouraging stuff with offense, I don't know exactly if you guys want to talk about any of that stuff, but I really kind of enjoyed watching Lackey work last night. Yeah. and when he yelled at Contreras, I just got a big kick out of it.
He's a fierce competitor. You know, I mean, in some ways, modeling that demeanor could be a good thing to a certain extent. I mean, we don't want everybody saying, give me the effing ball or whatever. But one other thing that stood out to me in that game was Chris Bryant's home run. Holy crap.
Yeah.
He destroyed that baseball. And I think it was like 414 feet out onto Waveland. But he just killed it. So that was exciting to see.
Yeah. And it's kind of neat to see them heating up here in August, when that's when the team really started clicking last year. And after, you know, being a little bit slow into the break and you know, a lot of Cubs fans kind of having concerns, it's great to see a team that can really start clicking on all of its cylinders in August and hopefully carry that into September. So it's great to see them play the way they are, and as individuals. You know, you look at Bryant, and I think he has 3 home runs since Sunday, doesn't he? Didn't he hit? I think he hit one on Sunday, too.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
So 2 home runs. Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
But yeah, one other thing too, I wanted to mention. Can we talk about Javier Baez for a second?
Please do.
Oh, it's gonna be Andy this time.
Well, first of all, I saw his stop at third base tonight in tonight's game earlier, and that was awesome. Fortunately, it was Pujols running because he didn't provide the greatest throw across the diamond. But I wanted to say, in the last 30 games, that Javier Baez's strikeout rate has had a little uptick to it. He's striking out at a 31% rate over the last 30 games, and we kind of noted how it's been down. But it looks like he's really kind of getting into old habits a little bit, perhaps, as far as his performance at the plate.
Yeah, it was a couple episodes ago. You know, you kind of started seeing him take some bad at-bats and kind of some wild swings and stuff. And I still think, like I said then, that I think he's matured so much as a hitter that he will fall into bad habits, especially I think if he kind of gets on a roll and he gets kind of cocky, and then he'll start falling into bad habits. But I think because he's seen by through the adjustments that he's made and everything, I think that it won't take him long to kind of like go back to, you know, to readjust to what has been working for him lately. I mean, I don't think you see somebody fall into bad habits and then not work their way out of those habits when they've, I mean, because there are some players that just won't take that coaching or won't make those adjustments. And I think the fact that he's shown that he's willing to means that, yeah, he's gonna fall into stuff. And I think especially if after he hits a home run or two or really gets hot, you know, that's Javi. He's just gonna think, okay, I'm gonna see if I can put one over, you know, put one over the Nuveen board or whatever. And
yeah, I absolutely right. I think he does seem like a pretty coachable athlete, and that's a really great quality for a young player to have. Taylor in the chat says this isn't the kind of second I wanted to take for Baez, but I just thought it'd be kind of fun to, for once, bring up something slightly negative on our Javier Baez second. But I have faith in the kid. I mean, he's coachable. Yeah, he might lose sight, or, you know, not keep his eyes on the prize at times for brief periods of time, but I think he'll get back on track.
Well, and I think too that it's nice to have those it's nice to have the depth to be able to, when he gets into bad habits, to maybe, you know, have him out for a couple days and spend some extra time in the batting cages and working with coaches, that they don't have to have him in there every day. And maybe he would benefit from being pulled out, not necessarily benched, but just kind of like a redirection.
like he's a young kid in school and you have to redirect him from doing something. It sounded like teacher talk. Let's there for a second. That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree, but I also think he's going to slump too, and we have to be careful that we don't jump on him like, oh, right. He's reverting. And right. When in reality, just like every other player, he's probably having a bad stretch and maybe he's swinging at too many breaking balls, and then
right.
Pretty quickly he's going to... I mean, Bryant's gone through a couple of those stretches this year where you could tell he just wasn't seeing it well, and they don't last very long, and then he, you know, hits a 400-foot homer, and you're like, oh, he's back. Well, I think that'll happen with Javi too.
Right, and let's not forget that, I mean, you know, these guys are young. They haven't been in the league a long time, and pitchers are figuring different things out. And so right now the pitchers are attacking a certain thing, you know, with Javi most likely, and he's just going to need to adjust to it. You know, it's, so maybe it's not completely him falling into bad habits, but maybe it's a certain way that they're setting him up, or, I mean, heck, we're not coaches. We don't know. I mean, it could be something about sequencing or, you know, against pitchers with a certain release point or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of like this little two-game series, though, especially against a weak team that the Cubs can, you know, hopefully tonight get a win. And like I said, then the Cardinals come in and really be, you know, man, if they're on a roll, Wrigley's going to be hopping with the Cardinals coming into town. We're going to talk about the Cardinals.
But yeah, all at home though too. I mean, so right. They have this nice two game series at home where they can kind of relax before the tension gets ratcheted up a little bit for this weekend. But it's still at home, and so I like that in August, you know, in kind of the dog days of summer, that they have stuff like this to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I hate shaving. It's uncomfortable. I always get nicked up. The razors cost way too much money, and then I discovered Harry's. Kurt, actually, you helped me discover Harry's. So stop compromising your shave and get started with Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for low-priced but low-quality razors. Harry's offers something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Harry's makes its own high-quality razors that cut out the middleman, and they ship them directly to you for half of the price of the leading brand. I've used several brands of razors, even a competitor of Harry's, and I'll say that Harry's razors and blades are drastically better for me. But you guys are both Harry's customers, and you were before they decided to have anything to do with our podcast. That doesn't really that didn't factor into you guys using them. But and Kurt, you've used them a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half. I can't remember exact timing. But yeah, I started to order a kit from them, and then I got a couple free referrals and sent that over to you. And I've always really liked them. I mean, they kind of had me on the price to start with because I had been using a more traditional brand razor, and so expensive. So they had me there, and then when I used them, I really loved them. I think the other great thing is they're always looking for ways to make them better. And the newest update, the new razors have a little trimmer blade on the other side, which I really love to kind of get in those hard to replace. So yeah, they're always making them better, great price. And, you know, I've, you know, used them for a while and probably won't stop for a while.
Yeah. And I can just pretty much echo what Kurt said. I've been a customer since 2013. They have made a lot of upgrades in addition to what Kurt mentioned. They also have added grips to the handle. The handle used to be a little bit slicker, and they must have noticed that. So that shows that they're paying attention to feedback from their customers and just trying to make things better. So the experience is really great, and I've never looked back since becoming a Harry's customer.
Yeah, so they have great blades. And how do you get the best blades in your razors? Well, you buy the factory that makes them. This factory has been making blades for almost a decade in Germany, and Harry's bought them. They make just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. It has five German-crafted blades, a flex hinge, and a lubricating strip. And if you try them and you're not happy with the quality, then Harry's will give you a full refund. So by owning the factory, they're able to cut out the middleman. There's no upcharges, and these razors are half the price of the leading brand. They're also great for women, too. I ordered one for Tawny so she could have her own. So you ladies out there, I know that you buy expensive razors, too, so I would encourage you to try Harry's. So why pay $30 for an 8-pack of razors when you can get them all for half the price at harrys.com? They have a starter set. It's called the Truman Set, and you get the razor, moisturizing shaving cream, and three of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors. And I'll say that these blades last far longer than other blades that I've used. And there's a special offer for listeners of our podcast. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase using the promo code Ivy. So go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman set. Choose the color handle that you want. That's harrys.com. Enter the code Ivy at checkout and you will get $5 off. Stop compromising and give Harry's a try today. All right, so there is a topic that I kind of feel like we've neglected a little bit, and I've chosen to just because I didn't really know where to come down on this particular situation. So, Andy, get us caught up with Tommy La Stella. And, I mean, as of Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock, what's going on with Tommy?
Well, I mean, like you said, we didn't really want to talk about it too much because we basically had no information. I mean, Tommy La Stella went all Will Byers on us, and he was just was gone. Like nobody knew where he was. So he was optioned to AAA. Gotcha.
Thank you. I had to Google Will Byers real quick. I was like, what the hell is he pulling some like Macbeth on us again? Is your character Macbeth named Will Byers?
Although JD totally quoted Macbeth last night's broadcast, which was amazing because I think it was Bryant that had maybe it was Rizzo that hit a double, and he goes double toil and trouble. But that was fantastic. Okay, but anyway, yeah. So La Stella was optioned to AAA Iowa on July 29, and he never reported. Players get 72 hours to report. And so eventually it came out that he decided to go home to New Jersey instead of reporting to Des Moines. And so
I don't know what's worse, Des Moines or New Jersey. I think I'd rather go to Des Moines.
I'd rather be in Des Moines. They have a nice sculpture garden. I mean, there's tons of stuff to do in Des Moines. It's a nice city.
I've been to New Jersey, man. I have no desire to go back to that state. Oh, the garden state.
Careful now. We probably have plenty of listeners there. There's plenty of nice parts.
Yeah, Josh is in Josh in New Jersey, northern New Jersey. But man, their license plate says Garden State. I did not see anything.
Is that by Route 23 up there in Jersey? Anyway, so La Stella was optioned to make room for Chris Coughlin on the 25-man roster. And so what it came down to is the Cubs didn't have too many choices as to what to do. They kind of had to choose between a few weeks without La Stella or basically no more Coughlin, as another team surely would have grabbed him had they designated him. So anyway, the Cubs' stance was that they were trying to give him time to clear his head, that they talked about how, you know, it's a clubhouse full of human beings, and they're trying to be sensitive to his needs, I guess. And then Tommy's reasoning came out in an article in an interview that he did with Jesse Rogers. And so according to Rogers, La Stella didn't want to be anywhere else but Chicago. He also went on to say it didn't feel right to him to be somewhere else just to continue playing. And he even said that he had contemplated retiring last season. A direct quotation from him is, he said, "This is where I want to be. I'm just waiting to hear back from the team and keeping up with all the workouts and training and hitting." And then one final comment that was interesting is he said that he's okay to step away. Which makes it sound like he could call it quits at any point this season and kind of be at peace with it. So Rogers went on to make it sound on Twitter today like La Stella would be willing to go to Iowa if the Cubs sort of gave him a solid timeline for when he's going to be back. Even if that's September 1st, he made it sound like he would be willing to go to Iowa shortly before that to get some live at-bats. So that's pretty much just the basic information on the whole situation.
It's just so weird. I mean, my initial reaction was like, you know, suck it up, Tommy, get yourself to Iowa. And then, you know, as stuff came out, I've relaxed a little bit on that and thought, we have no idea what's going through his head right now. And he's had a tough road there. But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt for his own personal reasons. But right, it is really hard to understand that you wouldn't be willing to play a month in Iowa to come back in September. Well, for the playoff run.
And honestly, it wouldn't even it probably wouldn't even have to be a month. I mean, let's face it, coggling kind of sucks. And, I mean, on one hand, I would have been okay with La Stella sticking with the big league club and Coughlin being sent on his way. I'm kind of like you, Kurt. I didn't really know what to make of this because we just didn't really hear any details. And it's like, well, I mean, I can't say, I mean, part of me thought, like you said, like, suck it up, just do it. And, but that's assuming that he's not doing it because he, I guess didn't want, like, felt like he shouldn't have been sent down. And mm-hmm. so it's tough. Like, I really tried to, like, fight the urge to, like, assume I knew what was going through his head. And I think we still don't really exactly know where he's coming from. But I guess on the other hand,
to a certain extent, I mean, should we, yeah, okay, I guess you're about to speak to that, but I mean, should we care too much about what's, I mean, I okay, yeah, everybody that is under the Cubs employ on the 25-man roster is a human being, sure. But they also signed contracts.
Right.
And yeah. I think that's where you were taking your what you were about to say, Corey, so go ahead.
Basically, I mean, I was just thinking that, like, he had options. You know, he mm-hmm. has options left. And, I yeah, that's your contract. That's just part of the deal. And if the team wants to send you to AAA, I mean, Puig got sent to AAA. You know, I mean, I just feel like that's part of the deal. And I don't know if it's... It just doesn't look good if you're like, oh, I got sent to AAA. Nope, I'm going home instead. And it looks really weird. You know, I think that those discussions were probably... I think he probably communicated with the Cubs more than what was let on at the time. And so I think there probably was an understanding there. But at the same time, like, I don't think the front office necessarily wanted this distraction. And I don't think I don't think it's good that, like, La Stella's teammates had to, like, kind of answer for him mm-hmm. and kind of, like, be vague with the media. I think he put a lot mm-hmm. of people in kind of, like, positions that really they didn't deserve to be in. And
while claiming to really care about his teammates and really wanting to be with them and play with them, they've been put in this awkward position.
Right. And I still just have a hard time, like, coming down too hard on him just because I don't, you know, maybe if I sat down here in my studio and talked with him, I would have a better understanding and it would make more sense. But, and at the same time, to go along with that, the fact that this is your contract, you do have options. They can send you basically wherever they want because you have options on that contract. And if you were considering retiring last year, well, then, and you didn't really have it in you to fulfill your contract, maybe that's what you should have done. And at the same time, I would just think, like, you know, I wouldn't think that this necessarily puts you in good standing with the front office and with the team. And if he's thinking about retiring, this is your one chance to get a World Series ring. And mm-hmm. He was playing well after coming back. You know, I mean, he's been playing well. And so why not just go down to Iowa for a couple weeks, tear it up down there, right. Do what you're supposed to do, and then come back up. If you're playing and well, they're going to want you on the roster.
And that's what leads me to believe this is less about baseball and more about something we don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, there's, I don't want to speculate and drop any, you know, things that it could potentially be, but I just think that there's something else personally going on with him mentally, emotionally, whatever it might be, that it's just leading him to be like, look, I can't right now.
Maybe he went and saw his doctor, who happens to be Hamill's doctor, and he gave him the PCP prescription. And so he's back, he's in Jersey.
Figure out which brand.
His favorite chips are back in Jersey.
It's easy to get that prescription filled. I don't know. There's a couple things. Somebody online somewhere pointed out it's kind of insulting to act like Iowa isn't the Cubs.
Right.
You know, I mean, because it's all part of the organization and the larger family. And then another thing is you hear people talking about, well, it's rough to have to relocate for your job. And so they can understand that aspect of it. But I saw somebody on, I forget, like some comment section pointed out it's kind of similar to just being sent on a business trip just right. because of the amount of time. I mean, so just go on the business trip and then you're back home, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to fathom, but yeah, I think more may come out that may make us all feel like, oh, okay.
That makes yeah. I think you might be right, Kurt. I just think there might be more there, and honestly, I mean, one of the reasons. So we hadn't really talked about it just because there were no details to discuss, and at the same time, like I think the Cubs are playing really well right now. And this just kind of seems like a bit of an unnecessary story. And I, you know, like today I was in the car quite a bit and I was listening to the podcast, but I also flipped on sports talk radio just to kind of see what they were talking about. And when it wasn't a commercial, like it was most of the time that I was listening, then they were discussing this and of course having much more flaming hot takes than what we have on it. And I just think like why is AM Sports Radio and why are we discussing this when the Cubs are playing better than they probably have in our lifetimes, and there's so much good stuff and so much entertaining stuff to talk about. I don't know why this really has to be a topic, I guess.
Yeah. So let's end.
Should we move on then? Okay. So we've done our due diligence and we've acknowledged Tommy La Stella. Okay. So we have some listener questions here. These were sent in through our Patreon group. And we'll start off with Dave. And he says, I just lost it real quick. He said, besides Al Mora Jr., who can have an impact when rosters are expanded?
And this one, I didn't really choose one particular player, but I think that the bullpen expansion as a whole could really help out giving guys a break. The guys that will make the playoff roster could be used maybe a little less, especially if you've got a comfortable lead in the Central where, you know, you can throw maybe Concepcion out there, Grimm, to eat some innings. So I think that could have an impact less than, you know, choosing an impact bat. But I agree with him that I think Almora could help out too.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Kurt. I think it's going to probably be pitching, and one pitcher that I would kind of like the opportunity to see is well, two actually. I would like to see Pierce Johnson and Rob Zastrzynski, who's been pitching really well lately. You know, these are two guys that you know, we've been hearing about for a while, and excuse me. And you know, with Johnson being a starter, I mean, it would be
rough this year, though.
What's that?
I think Johnson's been kind of rough this year.
Yeah, he has been. But still, I mean, you know, in September, maybe mm-hmm. just to come out and pitch an inning. I mean, these are guys. Yeah, they're not going to have like a huge impact because I guess that is what Dave was asking was impact. But honestly, like, I mean, the roster's pretty much set. I mean, I feel like we have a pretty good idea of what a playoff roster is going to look like. And when the rosters are expanded, I think, you know, I look at somebody like a Pierce Johnson that can come out. If the Cubs have the division in hand, let Pierce Johnson get a spot start and give, you know, another day off another day of rest for the starters. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. So and I think
and PJ, I'm on a pretty familiar basis with him. He was injured for a while this season. He had a lat injury. So, you know, I think that was part of the struggle. Okay. But if he's back and healthy, you know, he could contribute.
Yeah. I mean, I would be more excited about seeing like one of those guys than like, you know, Spencer Patton or, you know,
I don't be jacked when Patton makes his comes up.
Super jacked.
But
well, again, I mean, they have another left fielder in the fold then too, right? I mean, so that's good.
Right.
Spencer could play left field.
I just think that we're not going to see position players come up and impact other than Al Mora, just because I think of the way this team is put together right now. So
and Tommy La Stella.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say I think we'll see Tommy La Stella do a short stint with Iowa before September 1st, and then get added to the roster at the expansion.
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
I hope that's true.
Next one here comes from Kevin, and he says, am I the only one who thinks that it looks like Zobrist is using a shake weight before he swings?
I hadn't thought of that, but now that you point it out, yes.
I've loved his little idiosyncratic approach at the plate with the timing. It's like he makes a big circle and then gradually makes the circle smaller and smaller, kind of more what it looks like to me. But I love it. I love that kind of stuff.
It's kind of funny to think of like how those motions actually like players use it for timing, because it's like I would think that you would be at a different spot in your circle or your shake or whatever, like every time there's a pitcher, you know, every time there's a pitch. And so it seems like that would put you like kind of like out of sync, but he knows what he's doing. So
yeah,
it works. Obviously, yeah. He knows more about hitting than I do. Dave says, if Hendricks continues performing as he has, is he number three in the playoffs, or does the fact that Lackey was brought here because of his past playoff performance override what Kyle is doing?
Boy, that's tough.
I think that's all situational, in my opinion. Yeah. I think that, you know, whether they're home or away makes a difference. I think that the matchups against the other team make a difference as far as, like, are they super aggressive as a team when it comes to hitting? Although I guess both Kyle and Lackey are kind of known for throwing strikes on, especially strike one or the first pitch of an at-bat. But I think it's situational to a certain extent.
I'd probably go Kyle, but I could also see how Lackey makes sense.
Well, and I don't remember the exact quote that we shared an episode or two ago, but Madden basically says that these things have a what do you say, a weird and something way.
Didn't you say cruel way?
Yeah, cruel. A weird and cruel way of working themselves out. And I just kind of think that's what happens. I think that, you know, it probably all depends on, did one of them have a couple of rough starts heading into the postseason? And if so, that's probably what they're going to consider. I mean, all that stuff kind of goes into like the situational discussion, I think. So I think it'll be clear at the time. I mean, just like last year, I think it was clear by the end of the season that Arrieta should have been the number one heading into the postseason. And I mean, even Andy, you were kind of like championing Lester, but I think at a certain point it was pretty clear that it needed to be Arrieta.
It never was.
Jason says, how many pitchers do the Cubs carry for the playoffs, and which starter doesn't make the cut?
Hamill, isn't that? I don't know. It's tough to say. My knee-jerk reaction is Hamill.
Well, yeah, assuming so they can redo the roster after each series. So
right,
first series, Hamill's out for sure.
Right, but I mean,
you might want to have four starters on the roster, but maybe a three-man rotation.
Yeah, but you might also keep Hamill on there just because you might prefer him to come in and pitch out of the bullpen than, say, Cahill or, you know, whoever, Spencer Patton or, you know, I mean, I think it's really hard to predict what Joe Maddon will do. That's kind of...
But is it? Yeah. I mean, this falls again into those like nice problem to have situations where even Hamill's throwing well tonight and Lackey pitched great last outing. Of course, Hendricks has been great and Arrieta is resurging and Lester's having a great year. I mean, all five guys have just been, other than that little stint before the All-Star break, they've been so good. So,
yeah, I do see them.
I think like Andy was saying, you can kind of play the matchup a little bit.
Yeah, and I do see them having... what would it be like 13 pitchers? Because I think that I think that with the versatility of this team and the versatility of Joe Maddon as a manager and doing things like putting Travis Wood in left field, I mean, I think it wouldn't be surprising at all to see him do things like that in the playoffs. I mean, I don't think he would shy away from it just because of the stage. And so I think that they can kind of get away with having a pitching heavy roster because of just the positional versatility of the position players, and then also the versatility of the bullpen and everything. So,
you know, and that first series is only going to be three games, anyways. So,
right,
it's really not that big a deal.
JP says, given the chance of Almora or La Stella on a playoff roster, which direction do you go? And he said, I know it's really Coughlin / La Stella. Just curious, though. So if you had to choose between Almora or La Stella.
I go La Stella probably because of the bat.
Yeah.
Lefty. Bat off the bench.
Yeah.
In a proven pinch hitter success. So that could be huge.
I think if I think about it, the more I would think about it, I would think La Stella, but I would love to have Almora's glove in there. And I know that the Cubs have a pretty good defense as it is in the outfield, but I think I really like, it seems like Almora, I don't know. I think I would just choose Almora.
It's late in the game and you've got Miggy, you need a left-handed bat, and here comes Miggy. And you're like, oh, I wish La Stella was here.
Just tell Baez to turn around and bat lefty. That's where you bring in Travis Wood.
Yeah.
Or wait, does Wood bat right-handed? I think he does.
Yeah, I think he does, too.
Okay,
yeah,
so maybe a left. Maybe tell Travis Wood to bat lefty, and it's still better than Miggy. next one here is from Mike, and he says, does Theo go elsewhere and hand the keys over to Jed if the Cubs win the World Series?
I don't know if that's a given. I mean, this is the final frontier in baseball challenges, right? So,
right.
So it's time to it's time to actually win a number of times in a row. I think that's probably on his radar, but who knows?
I think he's totally staying around. I mean, you win one, you want one more. And also, like, I think those two have it'd be like the three of us being in the front office. Like, why would you quit a job where you hang out with your friends all day and do the thing that you really want to do?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to take Jed with him.
Right. And I think that just, you know, Theo and Jed, I mean, these guys have such, you know, their fingerprints are all over everything. Like, this is theirs. This is their baby. And really, I mean, if you would have asked them truthfully at the beginning of 2015 or at the end of 2014, like, oh, hey, do you think they could win the World Series in 2015? You know, I don't think they necessarily had that expectation. I mean, you're going to hear them say it's about getting into the playoffs and then anything can happen. But I think that it's so early, really. I think they probably targeted 2016 a little bit more than 2015. I don't know this for certain, but I think that, like, with if they're to win the World Series in 2016, they've got to be thinking, like, okay, we just won the World Series, you know, for the first time in 108 years in Chicago or with the Cubs. And then we have this core and really this team in place for the next several years, and we could do something really special. So I don't think you just win the one. You're like, okay, yep, we did that. I did that. Time to try something else. I think then you're like, I mean, then it's like the fruits of your labor. You know what I mean? Like, you put in all this work to put this thing together, and I think you want to stick around. And even if they win it the once, I think you want it more. Here's a philosophical question for you guys. Bill says, what is the meaning of life besides baseball?
42.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I guess when I figure it out, I'll let you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
But just 40, keep 42 in mind.
Right. I'll keep that in my back pocket. Because I rarely have 42 in my back pocket.
More like 2 G's, am I right?
Right. Don says, who are we hoping the wild card team will be? I'll tell you, for me, it's anybody but the Cardinals. I just don't even want the Cardinals in there. I don't want them anywhere near the playoffs. I want them continue the free fall at the end of at the end of the weekend. I want them like 16 games out, and I just don't want them anywhere close.
So I assume she means like who would they face, like who would win the wild card game, and
yeah, I think so. Cubs. Like who would the Cubs face?
I said Dodgers, Marlins. I mean the Dodgers are hurt without Kershaw. They're still a good team, but
he could be back by then, though.
Is he? I thought he was out.
I thought I had heard that he could be back.
Okay, well, Dodgers without Kershaw or the Marlins.
Wouldn't it be kind of sweet though if the Mets could sort of beat out Miami for a wild card, and then the Cubs could just stomp them?
Yeah, that would
be cool, but I would love to avoid that whole narrative and just play the Marlins.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, the one team I think I was thinking about would be the Marlins, just because I think that the Cubs could probably we've already seen them do pretty well against them, so I think that's who I would prefer to see him play.
Even despite Giancarlo Stanton's G helmet, they still have done well.
Right. One last one here. Lauren says, on a scale of 1 to Michael Jordan, how badly do you think Tim Tebow's attempted baseball career is going to turn out?
Boy, if I had to rate it, I'd say Michael Jordan with the Wizards, that bad.
Or like, Michael Jordan with the White Sox.
I know, but like, yeah, Michael Jordan.
I'm going to say Bo Jackson on this one.
Oh, no way.
I have no idea what that means.
Deion Sanders, maybe.
I just think I really dislike Tim Tebow, and it goes back to basically the obsession that everyone had with him in college football, and being a college football fan, you couldn't turn on there for a couple of years. Like he was, I mean, ESPN would talk about him being the greatest player in the history of college football. Basically, because if Florida had the ball on like the 3-yard line, he could run it in.
Yeah.
Or throw it.
What do you guys think about the idea that he's taking up a roster spot from a guy who's actually really talented, like a talented baseball player? Like somebody is left out in the cold because this clown wants to come try to play baseball.
Yeah, it doesn't worry me too much.
No.
It's like, yeah, it's going to be somebody that's so fringe they're not.
Well, and let's be honest. I don't even see him. I mean, he invited all 30 teams to watch him work out or whatever. I mean, what team would I'll tell you who would probably entertain it is like the Diamondbacks. It would be some like,
well, yeah.
I just don't think any team with I mean, I can't see what he hasn't played. I don't know. I don't even
in high school. That was it.
Right.
It would sell minor league tickets. That's as far as this is going to go. Like, he's going to sell out a minor league stadium.
It's going to be a spectacle.
Right. They might get together with somebody. More likely, it's going to end up like in some independent league.
Yeah, he'll probably
if he even wants to push it that far.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine how much attendance would be boosted for Faith and Family Night? With Tim Tebow.
Well, the Cardinals roster. Might sign him then.
Yeah.
And he'll be a. Who is the single A Cardinal affiliate?
Peoria.
Oh, yeah. There you go. He's going to be in Peoria. We'll go watch him.
I don't think anything's going to. I don't think anybody's going to go for it. And I think even if they do, he's not going to get anywhere. I mean, come on. If he hasn't played since his, I think it was that he hasn't played since his junior year of high school. So yeah, sure, he probably is ripped. He's got big muscles. He's got a good smile, but he's not a baseball player.
What if he's incredible?
Nope. Oh man,
good. Missed his calling. He should have never played football. He should have played baseball the whole time. Yeah. He's incredible. He's a new superstar in the MLB.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it's going to work out. I'm sure of it. So thanks to everybody that sent in those questions. We appreciate it. And Andy, you have a Rube Waddell story for us tonight?
Yeah, quick one for you tonight. There's not a lot of details on this particular story, but it's pretty incredible. And so this has to do with his time when he was touring as a part of the play The Stain of Guilt in 1903. One of their stops was Wheeling, West Virginia. And while he was in Wheeling, there happened to be a fire at a nearby bakery. And of course, we know that Rube wanted to help. And so, according to the Wheeling Intelligencer, he was actually at the site of the fire, trying to direct the fire chief on how to proceed. So he's actually like trying to boss around the guy whose job it was to put out this fire. And then he really, really wanted to be in control of the fire hose. He really wanted to spray it. But once inside the bakery, he somehow got inside the bakery too. He reportedly jumped into a vat of dough.
Oh man.
And so that's pretty much all I know. Like, I just kind of wonder, like, were there flames all around and he jumped into this vat of dough? Was the fire pretty much under control? We don't know, but according to this paper, he jumped into a huge vat of dough
and then ate all of it.
That's awesome. Oh man. Well, on our way out here, we should mention that apparently Pedro Strop has left tonight's game with a leg injury. So I just saw that on Twitter. That's happening.
That's not good.
But yeah, let's hope it's not serious.
Yeah. Yep. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. So that does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. Patreon folks, you're all heroes. You help us keep this thing going. You pay the podcasting bills. You help us fund our live events. You've helped us do some really cool stuff with this thing, and we appreciate it. I've got a few months of perks to get caught up with, and once the weekend at the lake is done, I'll start putting packages together. And if you're not a Patreon supporter, become one this month, and you will have your name entered into a drawing with everyone else's for a John Baker bobblehead that we gave away on John Baker Day, or that we sold on John Baker Day. I have one to give away. And by the way, Danny is doing another round of bobblehead orders. So you can buy one for $50. The proceeds are going to Cubs charities along with the money that we raised from John Baker Day. And once everything is settled, we'll share how much we raised with that event. But you can buy a John Baker bobblehead. I would say that there will probably only be 100 of these in existence. And they're unique. They're pretty cool looking. Anthony Rizzo has one. And so you can get one by going to sunranto.com. Or if you don't want to pay the $50, you can and you want a shot at winning one, then pledge support to us on Patreon. You can pledge as little as $1 a month. And again, everything that we bring in from Patreon goes right back into the podcast. Check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So thanks for listening and downloading. We'll see a lot of you this weekend. It's going to be a blast. Bring your wet wipes, as we've established. We'll probably record an episode at some point this weekend. We haven't really figured it all out yet. If we do it with the big group, I'm sure that it will be a much more looser and chaotic episode. But those are fun to throw in every once in a while. So again, thanks for listening, and until this weekend, go Cubs.